Thank you, Aaron. Good morning to each one of you. Hope you're all taking advantage of this time of year. Being able to be with family and things like that and appreciating it, thanking God for the great privilege that we have when we look around the world and see that everyone isn't living in the same amount of peace that we have at this moment. We should always be giving thanks and be taking taking advantage of the opportunities that we have to be together, opportunities that we have to do good around us. And those things sometimes never come back. That particular opportunity will never come back to us. So I'd like to present to you today some ideas that were given to me when I was down in Mexico. This last trip, just a little while, I had a very short trip down there with my wife, and I enjoyed it greatly. But there were a couple of things that took place. One of them was that we were privileged to attend this particular service. And what you see up there are this group of people that are singing. And they were all participants of this particular local that we went to. And they did the service, the whole thing from beginning to end. And they were in charge of it. They had readings. They had explanations. The group was a group that was studying. It was inspired by something that one of our sisters from Michigan had started, which was the reading of the Book of Mormon. And so then after that, they decided they would read Don McIndoe's book. About the Book of Mormon and its proofs and evidences and thoughts like that. And so they did that. And so this whole thing, they sang specials, they gave testimonies, they came up one by one. Everyone didn't, but most of them came up to give their testimony about what this meant and how it had helped them and how by actually sitting down and taking the time to read those things that they came up with ideas and thoughts and answers, and where at one time they were kind of embarrassed by what they believe, when they were done, they were no longer embarrassed. They were no longer ashamed. They were happy they had done it. They felt the Spirit of God as they were doing it, and it has made an impact in their personal lives. And so, you know, and this is all something that took place because they took an action. It was something that they did. They wanted to. Now, in this particular picture, there is three generations of one particular family there. If you see the lady in the middle in the Mayan dress, she's the grandmother. And then you look up to over her right shoulder, your left, and then kind of diagonally, there's a woman that has glasses is wearing glasses, and that's her daughter. And then right next to her on your left is a granddaughter. And then, of course, up by her right shoulder in next to the last row up there on the top is her twin sister. And so there's three generations of people in this particular photo, which is very important. And so, but we felt very privileged as we listened to everything they said. And it was one of those times when I was able just to sit there. And I enjoyed it so much because I was able to sit there and take a few pictures. But it was just a wonderful experience. My wife, who's been studying Spanish, she was able to pick up a lot of the things that were said because she knew what they were talking about. So she was able to understand. And she appreciated it greatly, the things which these women had done. And they did it over the phone. They got... on Monday evenings, they would call and they would all get on their cell phones and they would read and they would, and because they were, you know, they were close by our standards, but they were still quite a ways away. And it's just too hard to go to another town or go across the peninsula somewhere else. So they were from anywhere from the state of King Tonoroe clear over to the far end of the state of Yucatan and covered the whole peninsula. And there were some who weren't able to go there. But there was one young woman who is from the town of Zon who was in this, and she's immediately behind the woman in the front there, and her last name is Cabrera, and of course she has four generations of people that are in the Church of Christ. Just something to think about, but they they really didn't have this witness, this testimony, this desire to share until they had actually gotten together and read together and read these things together. So I'm going to read a scripture. And this is from the Apostle Paul, who is speaking to Timothy. And he says this in 2 Timothy 1, 5-7. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, she was baptized, or he was baptized, and he had this gift of God, the gift of the Holy Ghost. For behold, for God hath not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So there was something inside Timothy that was also inside his mother and his grandmother. There was something that was given to him that changed his life, that gave him strength in his life from day to day, that gave him conviction. It was something that he himself had received from God, this gift of God, and it had helped him so that he was no longer afraid of things that were in the world, and gave him a sound mind, and peace, and strength. And this is what I want to talk about. This next picture, you can see my wife and I are kind of in the middle of that picture, and you can see what this is. This happened to be a retreat for married couples, and so, of course, you know, Chris and I need a lot of help with that. So we went to this this time, and I had a little bit of part in this, and everyone who was there had a part in this, and they had three different groups. They had the parents and grandparents, and then they had young people, and then they had little children, and they had all had a part in this. There was something that really struck me when I was listening to a story about one of the young women who was a part of this. And she was a member of another church. It doesn't matter what other church, it doesn't matter what church in the Church of Christ this is. I'll just tell you, it's just someplace in Mexico. It's someplace we go often. This building is there. They rented it in the town. It's on the outskirts of their town. And so they rented it. The church didn't build this structure. But she gave this testimony, and she said, you know, when I was in this other church, we would make plans, and someone would suggest, let's do something. And they would say to her, you know, well, we don't have the money. We don't have the time. It's too hard. It's too hot. It's too difficult. And they all said, and they never did anything. And then when she became aware of, she started going to church with us, and they would say, well, let's do such and such, and they end up doing it. And it was always hard, and it was always hot, and it was always difficult, but they always did it. And I began to think about it. I began to watch, you know, as the women back in the back where all these people are standing, there's the very far building back there where the kitchen was. And I would observe and watch the women bustling around in the kitchen. And sometimes some of the men would come in and help out and carry out plates and things like that. And people were cleaning up and washing dishes, and they were doing all this. And they were able to do it. And so it just occurred to me that there's something that God gives to us that's real, that makes the gospel real, that gives us strength. And this is the thing that's going to be in our lives as time goes on. This is the thing that you know, if God is inside you, then you are changed. You're a different person than when you were prior to this. And God calls out to us, and he invites us to come and to be part of this. He invites you. He asks you to invite him to come into your life so that he can change your life. He can be part of your life. And the difference in the world that's going to make a difference in the future isn't going to be, you know, if we get rich, if we get powerful. It's going to be what is actually inside of you. This thing that's inside of you that people are going to notice that you're actually different from other people, that there's something. And it doesn't mean that, you know, that all the churches in the world like it, because they're not. There's a lot of people that are able to do it. And I believe God blesses them often. And because they want to do something, they have a desire to do something which is good, and God blesses them. And I know He does that. Wherever people are, He blesses them in doing these things. But people who turn to God are different. And our church needs to be different always. Now, there's a scripture in the Book of Mormon that I've always loved. And I just want to read a couple of verses of it. This is when, you know, that the author is inviting people in a certain area to test, to try God, to put Him to a test, and invite Him and seek after Him. And if all you have is just a desire to believe, that you would not permit that desire to die, but that you would feed it. You would feed that desire by doing something in your life that would show Him that you want. And this is what it says here. It says in Alma 16, verses 161 and 162, "And this because ye know, for ye know that the word hath swelled your souls, and ye also know that it hath sprouted up, that your understanding doth begin to be enlightened, and your mind doth begin to expand. And then, is not this real? I say unto you, yea, because it is light. And whatsoever is light is good, because it is discernible. Therefore, ye must know that it is good." You know, sometimes this is how we start off in our wanting to believe, is something touches us and we feel it. We feel it's good. There's something good about God when we try to get close to Him. There's something that makes us want more. God is willing to be a part of your life. And it's discernible. You can feel Him, his approach coming into your life. He wants to be a part of your life. And so He does. And He makes it so you can feel it. But then, you know, later on, as time goes on, all the lies begin to come to you. The lies, the doubts, the fears. And it's your job to seek the Lord in prayer and by studying to know what the truth is. And we do believe in an absolute truth. There's an absolute truth that cannot be changed, that it's always true. And there are many things that are absolutely true. But there's so many lies in this world, it would be always to our benefit to find out for yourself, to seek these things out. Here we have in Mosiah chapter 3, we have this particular encounter which the King Benjamin had with his people. And the Spirit of God worked in them and changed them as they were listening to Him. Now, they obviously were, he was already a good king. He was a spiritual man. He led them, but this was the last time he was able to speak to them. And so he spoke to them and told them everything, told them about the prophecies that had been given to him and invited them to come. And for some reason, as this man was talking, which is part of what I'm trying to say today, that if I'm saying here, and if you're falling asleep, you know, that's okay, because somebody's listening. Somebody's listening to me. I have no doubt in my mind someone is touched by what I'm saying, because this is the way God works. He doesn't take someone and make them mighty and powerful so that people will look to Him. He takes people who have weaknesses and He uses them and He touches them and He calls people to Himself, not to me. He's not calling them to me. He's calling them to Himself. But this is what it says here in this one. This is one of the most beautiful scriptures that there is that gives us some understanding of what is in store for all of us. And they all cried with one voice, because the king asked them, "What do you say because of the things that I have said to you?" And they all cried with one voice, saying, "Yea, we believe all the words that thou hast spoken unto us. And also we know of their surety and truth because of the Spirit of the Lord omnipotent, which hath wrought a mighty change in us, or in our hearts, that we have no more disposition to do evil, but to do good continually. This was a great change that happened. This is how people are going to know that there is truly a God, if they see in you a great change. And they see that you're strong. There's nothing that can move you from that particular place, that you're going to retain God in your life, and that you're trying to do the right thing. And people do notice. They always notice. They notice if you're kind. They notice how you speak to them. They notice the things that you do. They notice if you swear. They notice if you say things that you shouldn't be saying. They notice all these things. And they're looking. Many people are looking for the truth. But they need, when they see it, they need to see someone who's willing to bear witness of it with strength and endure unto the end. So let's go on. It says, and we ourselves also, through the infinite goodness of God and the manifestations of His Spirit, have great views of that which is to come. And were it expedient, we could prophesy of all things. They were filled with this faith and this belief because of what they felt, what the Spirit told them that their King was preaching to them was the truth. And they were convinced of it. They felt it themselves. This is true. This is righteous. This is good. And they also had this faith that if God needed them to do something, they themselves could be used by God. And this was men and women, and I'm sure young people and children. They knew God could use them in some way. And it is the faith which we have had on the things which our King has spoken unto us and hath brought us to this great knowledge, whereby we do rejoice with such exceeding great joy. And another one of the gifts that God gives us is joy. No matter what's going on, you know, these people, the lives that they lived, the time that they had, their lives were up and down. There was always some war someplace. If you look in the Book of Mormon, it was always there. There was always some trouble someplace. They were up and down, but God was there with them. There was something they had all the time that kept them strong and peaceful. And we are willing to enter into a covenant with our God to do His will and to be obedient to His commandments in all things that He shall command us, all the remainder of our days, that we may not bring upon us a never-ending torment, as has been spoken by the angel, and we may not drink out of the cup, that we may not drink out of the cup of the wrath of God. You know, it's pretty harsh, those thoughts. And you know, and I don't think that the Church of Christ, that we're the only people that are going to be saved. You know, I had an uncle, and this particular uncle, I won't tell you who he was, but he was a very devout man. He, in his life, in his personal life, whenever I was around him, he was always talking about God. He was always talking about what to do, what needed to be done. And one of the things that he said towards the end of his life is, I can hardly wait to see my Savior. I want to see Jesus. And I have no doubt, now that he's gone, that he has seen him. And I have no reason to not trust the Lord in what Jesus has done, because he's in the hands of a just God. I have no question about that. I have no reason to worry, because that's what he wanted, and it's certainly what he got. And that's what every one of us, when we leave this life, are going to stand before our Maker, before our Savior, to give an account or whatever, you know, exactly what that will mean at that time. You know, it's going to confirm all our hopes and our faith and our belief, or it's going to make us shrink from the presence of God. This is something, it's so real. This anxiety is also, it's just as real as the joy and the happiness that people can have. And while there's time, we need to be coming to the Lord and making our decisions to serve Him. So here we have, again, in Timothy, Paul is writing, and he's telling him about a struggle. And you know, I remember I was sitting right over there about where the Yates family sitting right now. And I remember Norman Warfield, who most of you don't know, but some of you do. He was preaching and he read the scripture. And it was in a time in my life when I was trying to decide what I was going to be doing, how I was going to be living. And I was in a great struggle in my life. And he read this scripture. And when he read it, and I was looking down on my scriptures, it's just as though the words came right up off the page at me. And I knew God was just, if it was nothing else, I don't remember anything else he said. But that particular scripture has stuck with me ever since. And this is what it says. Let no man despise thy youth. In other words, don't let anybody look down on you. Don't let their thoughts about you, you know, negate your service to God. Don't let them discourage you in trying to serve the Lord. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Timothy was obviously a young minister. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And, you know, I took that to heart. I began thinking about it a lot, and it just seems to me that at the time it was something that just motivated me. And I never will, because that one of the things I was thinking, you know, who am I? You know, I'm just this punk kid. I don't know anything. And that changed my whole outlook. You know, don't let people negate you because you're young. Because you can have the same type of, if you're humble, if you're meek and you follow the Lord, God can be with you. Take away your fears, your anxieties, your problems in life. He helps us. He gives us strength and peace. These are all the things that the Lord gives, and he changes us. And each time I've had some sort of experience like this, each time changed me in some way, and I'm still having these types of experiences. Just like this, the reason for what I'm talking about is because the thing that's going to happen to you is the way that we are going to endure in the years and the time that is ahead of us. We're going to endure because God is going to be with us to help us, to strengthen us from inside, from the inside outward. So here we have this from Philippians. It says in chapter 2, verses 13 to 15, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in you. He's striving. He's striving against the things, the outside influences that are not any good. He's working in you to have a desire to do something. And when you feel that desire, you should feel like God is with me. God wants me to do that which is right, to do that which is good. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. You know, there's a lot of people that are swayed by all the murmurings, the disputings, the arguments, the political conversation, the hatred. God doesn't want us to really get totally involved in this, even though we do have to address them. We have to look at them. We have to give an answer for these things to people. We have to be able to explain them. We have to be able to look at them without fear. And look at them and walk away. But we don't need to get involved in the murmurings and the disputings and the anger and the hatred in this world. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are lights in this world, no matter how small it may be. Yield to the Spirit, become a saint. You know, churches don't make saints. And that's a big issue in some places. You know, there's official registry in one of the great churches of the world, and probably in a lot of churches, you know, they make saints. They give them a name. They give them a title. They vote on whether they're a saint. Churches don't make saints. God makes them. He makes them, and he turns us into someone who's going to follow him. God is the one who does this. You know, my grandson is sick today. And so I spent Sunday school there, and my wife taught her class, and then she went home to be with him. And he's coughing. He has an upset stomach and a fever. And his entire body is engaged in a battle for life. Well, you know, I'm not worried, but it's true, isn't it? His entire body, everything, all the cells in his body, his blood system and his immune system, they're all fighting to keep him alive, to keep him healthy, to keep him well. You know, this battle, the battle that we're engaged in life, whether spiritual or physical, there's always some reflection in the physical world of the battle that there is in the spiritual world. And sometimes we don't feel very good spiritually. But it's the battle that God made. God made this fight. And he created a defense system for us to use. And he brings the enemy to our gate. There's no question in my mind about this. He brings it right to your door. Mosiah chapter 1, verse 120. But if he yieldeth to the enticings of the Holy Spirit, and putteth off the natural man, and becometh a saint, through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and becometh as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. This is the opposite of what the world is considering, what the world wants. But we have this battle. We've been commissioned to fight. We have been commissioned to fight. You are commissioned to take up arms, you know, against our enemy, the kind of arms that the Lord has chosen for us to use. Some people are going to listen to seducing spirits. I'm going to read this. And before I read it, when we're looking at this and we're thinking about this, these people that wrote in the scriptures, if you look at Paul and Peter and Nephi, especially those three, and there were others, of course, they lived in very difficult times, most of them. And some of the prophecies they gave, they were giving prophecies about the doom of their own people. Now, can you imagine, you know, Paul and Peter, they were letting the world know, you know, that there's something coming. And what was it? Well, of course, it was the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And Jerusalem was buried under its own stones. And the Romans tore it apart piece by piece and threw it down. And so we're looking at this from a different perspective today, because that day's over. It's over. And now it's the Gentiles. And no matter what we want to say, it's the close of the time of the Gentiles. And the prophecies tell me that, you know, we have the opportunity, if we're willing, to be part of adopted Israel through our Savior Jesus Christ. And it's turned now to us. In the Gentiles, if you look at writing, and somehow we've all got to learn to live with this idea that there are lions beginning to rise up. Some of the lions aren't evil lions. Some of the lions are people who are trying to and want to fight for what's right. I don't know where that's going to lead me. I don't know where that's going to lead my grandson. I have no idea. But that's what I read. I read in Scripture that God is going to make young lions. And we need to be attuned with His Holy Spirit so that we're not just swept up, because sometimes He makes young lions and they end up getting destroyed themselves, and they're just become tools in God's hands. But the kind of young lions that we need, of course, are the kind of people that are going to be firm and steadfast and strong, immovable in the faith of Christ. And if it were needed, we'd be willing to take up the sword. But that's really another subject, isn't it? So things are turned. Are you willing to be a member numbered among the house of Israel? Because that's what's happened. See, there was this day when God had promised Abraham and his seed after him, I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to make you a mighty and a powerful nation, and no one is going to be able to destroy you. But of course, when they turned away from him, they were able to be destroyed. And really kind of like several times, they were destroyed. And then God finally just threw them out of the land. But that's over. Or it's beginning to be over. And now it's up to us. Now it's down to us. Now it's down to us as we think and we think about what God has given to us, all the blessings of life He's given to us, this land, He's given to us freedom. And the writing's on the wall for the Gentiles. But we have to learn how to live with this. But I want to read this. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, what time would Paul be mentioning? I think he was talking about his times. The times when Jerusalem, because he saw it in prophecy, you know, it's right there. Jerusalem's going down. It's going down. It's going to happen. And what I, you know, and also he saw in the future, he saw the apostasy as well. These are things that were going to happen. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, when we look at this kind of thing, we have to, you know, think about this exactly. You know, we have to realize that God has sanctified things. He has made them right. He has made them, and there is nothing that can change it. He's made them right. They are right for us. They are right for every person. They are good. If they are taken to heart and used, there are things which are good. And here we have this writing that's in the Bible. The weapons of war, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. There is a war. It was then, it is now, it's still there. I really like this particular comment that I read in Albert Barnes about that particular statement, that our weapons are not carnal. I just like to read it because I thought it was so well stated, far better than I could ever say it. And he says this, not those of the flesh. It's not carnal. It's not something that's in you that you have by your nature. Not such as the people of the world use. They are not such as are employed by conquerors. Nor are they such as people in general rely on to advance their cause. We do not depend on eloquence. That's a good thing, because some of us are not very eloquent. Or talent, or learning, or wealth, or beauty, or any of the external aids on which the people of this world rely. They are not such as derive advantage from any power inherent in themselves. Their strength is derived from God alone. That's why, you know, you can stand up here as a preacher and realize that some people are not paying attention and others are, but that God is carrying what he put on your heart to someone. He's carrying it there. I don't have to be the best there is, which is very comforting, because I'm not. But this is our warfare that we have, and God pulls things down. This is what he does. You know, this is this. I believe that this ancient time when God brought down Jericho, that's a spiritual equivalent of that last scripture that we read. And this is what it says in Joshua chapter 6, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass that when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Now, I think there's a spiritual equivalent to this, and the preaching of the gospel. The journey that we're on is the preaching of the gospel, is witnessing and making sure that the generations that are before us hear this word, making sure they take advantage of this opportunity. Because we have this opportunity, and the opportunity goes away. And so we need to take advantage of it. You know, this is like a journey to the promised land. Because if you've read the journeys going to the promised land, they weren't that easy. It's a spiritual war, and it's often unpleasant. It covers generations of history. But God says, fear not, I am with you. And this is the witness and the testimony that I have, that God has taken away my fear, that God has helped me and blessed me to go on, that God has helped me, and maybe somehow I will end up being a trumpet. Somehow I will end up being a voice, a shout that helps bring down these imaginations of people, the imaginations of their own hearts and their own minds, that somehow we can help and stand up no matter what the cost. I've been very interested in seeing some of the people that are rising up in every area of the world, from, you know, talking against, I don't want to necessarily say, but talking against, you know, men playing women's sports and things like that. And kind of interesting what they're doing. They're standing up and saying, you know, I'm willing to suffer. Some of these people are saying, I'm willing to suffer to fight for something I thought we already had. And it's touching to me. I pray for our nation. I pray that we will stand up and not lay down when these challenges come to us. And this doesn't mean we don't love everyone, because we do. We love everyone. But it's a difficult journey to get there. And it has to stand on absolute truth. We must stand on absolute truth. And God has sanctified. He sanctified marriages. He sanctified children. He sanctified food. He sanctified flocks. He sanctified all these things in the world that people seem to want to take away. He sanctified the populating of the world completely filling it. God has sanctified this. It's not for man to decide that we need fewer people. God has sanctified these things. He sanctified the fruit that of this world to be used for his purposes and for his people. And so with that, I'm just going to close. This is my last scripture. These are the words of the Lord to the brother of Jared. And of course, he was chastising him in this first verse. And the next verse, we're just learning where we're at as people and what we need to fight. In Ether 1, verse 41, and the Lord said unto him, I will forgive thee and thy brethren of their sins, but thou shalt not sin any more. For ye shall remember that my spirit will not always strive with man. Wherefore, if ye will sin until ye are fully ripe, ye shall be cut off from the presence of the Lord. In verse 63, because of the fall, our natures have become evil continually. Nevertheless, O Lord, thou hast given us a commandment that we must call upon thee, that from thee we may receive according to our desires. And this is the truth. You receive what you want. And by that, what that means is, you know, you might be deceived thinking that you're going to get happiness from the things of this world. And these are just, you know, niceties that we have in this world. But we can't live in Disneyland forever. You know, it just doesn't work. It isn't going to work. But we can live with God's Spirit inside us forever. We can live forever with this. And I hope that this has not been, you know, well, it's just the same thing he's always been saying, but it really isn't. This idea that there's a difference that people are going to see, there's a difference that you can see in how we're going to stand. The Lord God Almighty is going to pour out his Spirit upon us, and we are going to stand. And upon others, upon people who don't believe in the true principles of the gospel, things that they're making up and adding to churches and gospels, these things, God is not going to support them. But he is going to support those who will stand with him, who will abide by his teachings, abide by his commandments, by the things that he sanctified from the very beginning of time. God will stand with them and give them strength. And by you using your strength, someone else is going to be able to have strength. And this is so important in the day that we live in. We do not know what's going to happen. And every week, my mind does not change. My mind does not change. There are things in the moving at this very moment that I think are going to change all our lives. And it's not for the worse, because by doing this, and if we turn to God, God is going to make your life rich and give you strength. And by rich, I mean rich in spiritual things, and give you the strength that you need. And there's no reason to bemoan these kind of things, because people have endured things from the very beginning of time. God's people have always been able to get through them because God is with them. If he takes us to the brink, he is there with us. And so I can't repeat that enough. I hope you will put it in your mind. It will write it in your heart forever. God will be with his people. May God bless us, I pray.